A conversation on race in Connecticut. Lisa Wexler talks to Bridgeport civic activist Wayne Winston. Now, on Southern Connecticut's news and information leader, WICC 600.
Welcome back to the show, 203-333-9422. It's still a little bit rainy. I think the sun wants to peep out, but it isn't quite there. Joining us right now for our weekly conversation on race is Wayne Winston, an activist, grew up in Bridgeport, now lives in Trumbull. He's got his finger on the pulse of a lot going on in our community. 203-333-9422. You're welcome to be a part of this conversation each and every Wednesday. Hey, Wayne, welcome.
Thank you very much, Lisa. It's great to be here.
So, Wayne, I want to focus on something, which is Good Morning Wilton did a special report yesterday on Wilton School's focus on diversity, equity, and inclusion. And I really want to give a little bit of a history here. In 2020, Wilton High School alum wrote an open letter to the Wilton Public Schools Administration, signed by over 600 past and present students. They wanted a change in how race was taught in the Wilton public schools. This is what they asked for. They wanted to eliminate a, quote, race-blind narrative that was taught in the curriculum. They wanted to add specific historic events and texts to the curriculum. They wanted to increase diversity in hiring by looking at institutional barriers that might prevent teachers of color from even applying. And they wanted to hold teachers and students who make racist and offensive remarks accountable with constructive punishment. This is coming on the heels of a background, Wayne, of this. In less than 20 years, Wilton has shifted from having fewer than 5% of students who were not white to 25% of the current student body identifies as students of color. And the 2020 census shows that in just 10 years, Wilton's non-white population almost doubled. It is now at close to 20%, 19.6%. So when you have one out of every four kids in Wilton who identify as a student of color, you obviously have a groundswell that would be a really obvious and important platform of change, because the word inclusion means much more if you have one out of every four kids being students who identify with the words of color.
Amazing. You know, when you think of Wilton, obviously an affluent community, you clearly don't think of a community where people would take that, you know, predominantly white city, and say, listen, we want to grab this bull by the horns and create a better place for our kids so that they will have a better future and actually make better citizens and better choices for our country. That is so exciting and enlightening and positive in the face of what we know we're going through in other places, like in Easton, where the superintendent has to quit because of death threats, because they're teaching the racially inclusive history that the state of Connecticut has said, this is what we're going to make available. I cannot thank them enough. And I think any educator that is out there and understands this, to just take that courage and have that many people within that town, I think that they're a model for other towns that are similar, you know.
I'm reading now from the report a little bit, which is fascinating. Anybody can see it online on goodmorningwilton.com. So what Heather Borden did, she's the editor, is she interviewed all the players, and Chuck Smith is the superintendent. And this is what they're actually going to be doing, Wayne. They're going to be implementing the new Black and Latino Studies course, which is a mandate from the state. But this is what they're saying. They say the state hasn't really mandated culturally responsive teaching, but it has certainly strongly endorsed it and supported it. And that's what we're going to do in Wilton. We're going to teach our teachers how to be culturally responsive, whatever that is. And I'm really not sure. I guess the devil is in the details. But that's what they're going to do. And they're also, they said that they did something called a portrait of the graduate, which was a review of their curriculum that was driving the work because it identified outcomes that they want for their graduates. And one of the outcomes they want is they want to have every person who graduates Wilton Public School recognize the perspective of other people, be culturally aware of other people's culture. And they want them to be able to do this in primary school, elementary school. They want to be able to say, I can identify when others have ideas that are different than mine. In middle school, they want to have kids say, I can recognize how cultural beliefs and bias affect how we create and receive information. And in high school, they want them to be able to say, I can analyze how cultural beliefs and bias and underlying assumptions influence the ways we generate and receive information. So that's what they have wanted, and they have wanted this since 2019.
Unbelievable. I think we need to send that letter out to like Oklahoma and Texas and these places that are actually looking to have the history silenced of the mistakes that America makes. Look, I love America. I would not want to be anywhere else. I am proud to be an American citizen. In fact, I'm even proud to be black. You know, as you know, maybe if I had to be born again, I'd be born black again. Black again, maybe black and rich.
Of course you should be proud to be black. You know, it would never occur to me that you would not be proud to be black. Of course you should be proud to be black. Of course.
And some people, because of how we live, and there's so many trials and tribulations with that, you know, within our community, you get people go like, man, I don't know if I could do this again. The hardships that come with that, you know, because there's you have to deal with it. I've been followed around the store, and, you know, if I'm casual, like, hey, I wonder what that guy's going to steal over there. I get it. It just becomes a part of our lives. And when you have something like this that starts with young people, which goes to this whole crazy thing with these far right groups and the ones that are coming to our Board of Education meetings, you know, they know if young people start to have compassion, because that's what it is, it's compassion and understanding. The reason that the history of racism and segregation worked, it was because they were told and enforced things that said, we're not quite like you. You know, they're not as smart. They have, you know, they're not as caring. They're not as loving. So it's okay if you treat them different. But as we know how the world works and the way God made us, we're human beings and we love who we love. So
all right,
just stop there.
Let's go to the callers. Christine from Bridgeport, you're on the air with me and with Wayne Winston. Hi, and good morning.
Hi, good morning. So just listening to your call, it's very empowering just to hear what's going on in Wilton. I'm an attorney. I'm a parent. I have a daughter in the Bridgeport school system, and I'm actually involved, and I'm running for my local Board of Ed.
And, oh, you are? Hold on. Wait. Christine, yes. What's your last name? What's your last name?
Baptiste Perez.
Okay, well, Christine, we may have to have you call separately to find out what your platform is, because I'm really interested in the Bridgeport Board of Ed. But anyway, go ahead. Keep going. I'm glad you called. Go ahead.
Well,
yep.
I mean, I have a big background, but I studied American studies, and I focused on ethnicity and culture and a minor in inequality at Cornell. And one of the big things that I think that the misunderstanding is with, like, diversity, inclusion, and what drives a lot of fear is it thinks that it's a division, a polarization of different ideas. And really, Wilton taking that step forward to be inclusive of the true encompass of what it has happened in this society with the African American Latino studies being mandated from the state, but also having a goal, a big goal of, like, how they want their students to analyze, I think it's the best step forward, honestly, to be modeled by the nation. It was polarization of ideas. Really, the truth is you need to hear both sides. I'm an attorney. I know how important it is to analyze both sides and see where the weaknesses are and make an educated decision to advocate for my client. And I think when you're biased to one side or not willing to listen to the other side or just learn the truth to the history of this country, because some of it is just a lack of understanding. You didn't know those courses weren't required in high school, or it wasn't required in college, so you never had to take it. You missed out on a big chunk of what impacted your neighbors. And when you don't understand the other side, it makes it really hard to come to some kind of like reasonable ground, just an understanding, just to move forward. And so hearing that Wilton, one of the most affluent towns, is taking that step when there's anti-groups in Easton and Guilford and different areas, I think it's very empowering just to kind of understand why. The country is diversifying. It's been diversifying for years, as far as like just people identifying as persons of color. I take it as a positive step forward of at least acknowledging a better sense of building community.
I do too, Christine. I do too, and I think that Wilton is not alone. It just so happens to be a report that was published. They have an outstanding local press, and you know, and I'm always looking at the local blogs and the local press, and so I was able to see this in a special report done by Good Morning Wilton. So thank you, Heather Borden, for doing this. But I mean, it's been in the works for a while. It's not a knee-jerk reaction to George Floyd. It's not any kind of knee-jerk. This is something that's been coming up from within in terms of the administration in Wilton.
And I think that's what's even more powerful, is that it's not based on the social media culture. It's not based
Correct.
On the news. It's based on the changing demographics in the area. And because it's natural.
Right.
And I think the timing couldn't be any better, since there is more news of the other side versus the meaningful attempt for inclusion.
Christine, I want to ask you, and I'm sure Wayne wants to know too. First of all, thank you for being willing to run and put your voice and your stance in for the Bridgeport Board of Ed. The Board of Ed has a pretty controversial history in Bridgeport. What are you running to do as a member of the Board of Ed? What do you want to accomplish?
Well, the three big platforms that I'm looking to accomplish, well, one is stability and reason. I've heard of that reputation in the Bridgeport schools. I'm going in with open ears, a critical mind, and my voice to advocate for students, families, and the community. And so I'm not going in for anything else but literally the kids. Once upon a time, I was a teacher, and I was a first-generation college student, first-generation American, and so I can relate to a lot of the children and the families that are in the school system there. I also want to empower the families, because one of the big things I learned when I was teaching, and I taught in middle school and high school, was how important it is for the foundation.
So Christine, you were a teacher. You were a teacher, and then you became a lawyer.
Yeah.
That's right? A lot of education. That kind of education is going to go really far in Bridgeport. They need somebody with that level of education. It's wonderful.
Well, I hope they take value in it, because it's or the constituents value my experience, because I want to utilize what I've learned in my personal life, just relating to the students and the families, as well as my advocacy, reading skills, analytical skills, towards a lot of the policies that's going to be implemented towards Bridgeport, because a lot of changes come in with some of the relief aid based off of COVID.
I know. Somebody's got to follow that money, Christine. Somebody's got to follow that money. How old are your kids?
Well, I only have one, and my daughter, and she's 8, so she's in the third
she's
grade
8.
Now.
So she's right in there. So you have a really big stake in the outcome.
Yeah. I mean, well, it's a big stake in general. I mean, my neighbors have children. My friends have children. it really takes a community and involvement. And so as much as we can complain amongst each other, maybe even complain to the board members or complain to whoever, sometimes you have to get into the fire and jump into it to see the change. And so that's what I'm doing.
Yep. Before we let you go, Wayne, you have anything else you want to add to Christine?
You know, just that I'm happy she called in today, and I have to say I personally know Christine. And,
you do? Okay.
Yeah, and what happened is that, you know, there's new faces in the community that just pop up, and, you know, they just get in there and just start doing things. She's a very, very awesome young lady, and she's smart. And her temperament is what you hear right now. In fact, she's also been on a number of our calls for the Anti-Racism Coalition Zooms that we do. And she always has those right questions. I mean, I didn't know what she was going to say today. But it's clear that I think she'll be a great benefit to the Board of Education. And what she shares as an educator is important. And she hears firsthand as educators that are from Fairfield and from Westport that are there, that are really fighting for something similar to what Wilton is doing. And it's hard to get the people in the towns, in the town committees, or for that matter, the boards of education, to be able to get together to make that kind of stand, because there is so many people that are still standing on the other side of this thing, and they're really trying to get into the minds of the parents to make the parents feel that it will be some danger and do something critically bad to your child if they understand that America, like human beings, isn't perfect. And this is how we make things better. The battle has always been about being seen as equal, you know, and legislated out of that equality process, even as human beings, has continued. And this is what is so wonderful about Wilton and the towns that even aren't able to go that far. I see them fighting, and I really enjoy that and appreciate that. And it's so important even for the young people in black school systems, because there's a lot of this history that they don't know because it doesn't get taught. It is so powerful, our teachers, our educators, and being able to have a level playing field and fix some of those things that we need to make this country a better place. There's no better place on the planet than America. And we set the standard for everything that's right and wrong. And I appreciate the people I can look in the mirror and say, we made a mistake, and this is what we're going to do about it. That makes it better for everybody.
Well, it's interesting you should use the word mirror, because actually the philosophy, according to the superintendent of schools in Wilton, is called mirrors and windows. And part of the curriculum, part of what is being handed to the teachers is this: a good teacher works hard to develop relationships with students in order to help them identify their place in the world. A great way to help children do this effectively is to introduce stories and materials that act as mirrors and windows. A mirror reflects students' own culture and helps them to build identity. For instance, when students read books where they see characters like themselves who are valued in the world, they feel a sense of belonging. A window is a resource that offers students a view into someone else's experience. It helps them to develop a broader understanding about the world. Students need to learn about how other people view and conduct themselves in the world in order to understand how they fit in. And there it is, mirrors and windows. Christine, thanks for calling in. Wayne, we're going to be right back with more of the Lisa Wexler Show when we come back.
A conversation on race in Connecticut. Lisa Wexler talks to Bridgeport civic activist Wayne Winston. Now on Southern Connecticut's news and information leader, WICC 600.
By the way, Wayne, next week I'm going to be off. So we're going to do this segment in 2 weeks because I'll be celebrating the second full day of Rosh Hashanah because we're a 2-day family. So the holiday starts Monday night. And then we do Tuesday and we do Wednesday. And so I'm not going to be on the air.
Well, that's understandable. And I thought about that when I saw some preparation, you know, on the news and on the calendar. And, you know, God bless, and obviously super safe. And I think during COVID times, these things with our families have even more value than usual. And I know it's been like that for us. And I wanted to share something because so many times people talk about Bridgeport of violence and you'll get killed if you come through. I mean, you know, people don't even want to drive through. And something happened on Saturday, which folks wouldn't know, but the folks in Bridgeport do, which is down at McLevy Green on Main Street. That's a great gathering place where we have different events. Usually there's something called Downtown Thursdays, and there's entertainment. This year, they had its first annual jazz festival on Saturday.
Cool.
It started at 12, I believe, and it went till 8. It was packed, that whole area. Absolutely. In fact, if you measure to the parade that you attended, Lisa, it was just as crowded, if not more so. And I mean, we easily had 1,000 people out there, and you did not hear of one incident. Not one gun coming
out.
That's
so nice, though.
It was amazing. A gentleman who is a retired policeman, David Daniels III, most people know him in our town. There's a lot of people in Bridgeport that are doing things, trying to deal with this violence and so on, and he's one of them. But he's a big jazz guy. So, you know, he travels a lot and is a basic legend in our community, and he got together a jazz festival for the first time. You know, we've had hip-hop, we've had Italian festivals, all that, but to have a jazz festival in downtown Bridgeport was phenomenal last Saturday, and people dancing and having a great time. Oh, it was unbelievable, and it just felt really, really, really good. So people don't understand like that. That's where most Bridgeporters are. It's like 1% of these unfortunate with these kids, and they do what they do. It's kind of like having what's the answer for these shooters that go out and just kill 5 and 8 people or just get out and just start killing in their job. I mean, we don't have that answer, but we're as concerned as everybody else. And that's the challenge right there for us to be able to have that compassion, to understand we are as concerned. In fact, they take our lives in our communities more than they do in the white community.
That's right.
And that's what is important. So we are struggling with that right now, just trying to make sure that you understand that we are people who care about our communities. We care about the lives of our families, and drugs is a major problem for us. And we are fighting that every single day, trying to figure out how to make the place safer. Even what's going on with addiction, that's a big issue. And it's always been a big issue for us as Black people. And I'll finish with this, that the Reagan era, when they made this statement of Nancy Reagan saying, just say no, the reason it became such a joke in the Black community is like, if you have an addiction, you just can't say no. You need things to support that. You need programs. You need compassion. It's those Black people take drugs anyway, and they're just going to sell them to each other. And now that it's struck a bigger chord to a mass community, now white America, you understand that, you know, crack is as terrible as it was. It's a terrible drug, and drug dependency is horrible. And right now, fentanyl, these are things that people pick up at some point. They're not born with it. And it's the drug of choice these days. And there's things in place. You know, we're Narcan and a couple, you know, if you're ODing, it's just become commonplace because they've labeled it a disease that needs to be taken care of. That's
well,
what makes
I have
this
to tell you,
place.
I've seen, I saw in the mental hospital also, I'm seeing and I'm hearing about marijuana laced with bad things too. I mean, it's, if you're going to ingest something, if you're going to ingest something, very often it isn't even what you think you're taking, you know, legal or illegal. If you're going to take something for recreational purposes, unfortunately, very often the person giving it to you is giving you a substance that you don't really even think you're taking. And that's even worse because that's when people die or they go get psychotic. This marijuana that's
Absolutely.
Being laced with stuff is ending up in psychosis, and I'm seeing it at the hospital. But anyway, Wayne, you're right. And by the way, great segue because Anthony Campbell is on with us tomorrow. Anthony Campbell's coming on a couple of times a month. He is the former New Haven police chief. He's a black man, and he is now the assistant chief at Yale. And he's having continuing conversations about those very issues that you raise. And we have a good time talking with him. So we're going to talk to him tomorrow. Anyway, you have a great Happy New Year, by the way, because I won't speak to you for a couple of weeks. So Happy New Year. A Shana Mitzuka, a sweet, sweet New Year to you. Thanks for being with us, Wayne. We'll be back behind the mic tomorrow.
You.
Pleasure. We'll be back behind the mic tomorrow with more of the Lisa Wexler Show.
We all need the same thing. And maybe we'll find